Barkov looking to get a step on Mete. Barkov to the net. Barkov between the legs. Unbelievable. Did you just do that, Alexander Barkov? The Panthers are back on top.
Hello and welcome back to the Florida Hockey Podcast. Justin Bedford, joined this week by Jacob Barker and Felix Fortin-Briand, our roommate, Habs fan, not a Panthers fan, but a, some say, close personal friend of Jonathan Huberdeau. It's not true.
I'll take that.
He'll take that. No Noah this week because he bailed once again, but that is okay. And as always, this week's episode of the podcast is brought to you guys by DraftKings, and the second round is in full swing, and the action increases from game to game. This is where the contenders are separated from the pretenders, and to give you some skin in the games, DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball playoffs, offering players a free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes. That's up to $10,000 up for grabs each day, and the best part, it's free-to-play. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen during that day's games and track your results throughout the evening. Question will range from which team will hit the most threes to which team will score first. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to get your free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball playoffs. Head to DraftKings pool page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for full details. How you guys doing this week?
Oh, we're doing well. How are you doing, Justin?
Well, fantastic. I mean, we all kind of live together, so it's not really much of a question. I know what you guys have been off to. Just kind of hanging out with our new house cat who is wandering around somewhere right now, Theo. But yeah, things are good.
It's been good, yeah.
It's been good. We just finished watching a nice Euros game, Italy versus Switzerland. Big win for the Italians. But yeah, in playoff hockey, finally, the semifinal started. I'm sure, Felix, you're excited about that. You're Montreal Canadiens. And
yeah,
I got to ask right out of the gate, like, how the fuck are they still here? How are they playing hockey right now? How is it that that roster is still playing and the Florida Panthers are just living their best life in South Florida?
Like, let me start by saying that I do believe that the Panthers are a better team in Montreal, just so I don't get, you know, crazy hate from the get-go. I think it's just been a combination of Toronto choking, which we can talk about. I feel like it's always a good topic, but and just some kind of team chemistry. Carey Price standing on his head, you know, he's clutching big games, and he has been, you know, 930 save percentage, I believe, so it's hard to argue against that. And then again, we could also argue that we've been lucky in a way, you know, top players from each team missing times due to injuries or suspension. So I guess we'll take that as well. A bit of a reality check in game one against Vegas, though. I feel like everyone can agree that especially the second half of that game, Vegas was clearly the better team. So interesting to see how Montreal adjusts in game two. But hey, we're here. We're still vibing. I'm still watching Montreal Canadian mid-June, so I cannot complain.
Yeah, like I gotta ask, because like I talked to some other Habs fans, and Noah, he's also from Quebec, but it seems to me like all of the Habs fans I talked to are just kind of like happy with how well the team's doing, but their expectations are never like getting like ridiculously out of hand. Like it doesn't seem like sometimes with like Leafs fans it gets like a bit delusional where they think It's the greatest team ever. Habs fans are like, we're just playing with house money at this point. Beat the Leafs. Like, let's just have some fun here. You know, you want them to win. If they don't, oh well. You get to watch, you know, your former captain, Max Pacioretty.
Yeah. No, that's interesting for sure. And I think most of us agree that no one has expected us to be there in the semis. Nobody maybe expected us to be Toronto as well, but things happen.
I picked them on the show. I picked your house.
Props for that. No, you're right. I think probably the happiest person would probably be Bergeron right now, because he probably saved a few years of his job. I think if Montreal lose in round one there, I think him and Ducharme are both gone. But now, like, can you make the argument to fire them now? Of course not, because for some reason it has been working. So I guess, and we've seen how happy he was after those two
victories. Yeah. Him celebrating with the players wearing his red suit.
Yeah. So like I said, yeah, I'll just enjoy the show while it lasts. I do have Vegas in six personally for this series. But then again, am I going to be sad if Montreal pulls an upset? Absolutely not.
Yeah. No, actually, I didn't even ask you guys because you weren't on that episode. But well, yeah, what are your predictions for these two rounds, these two series? You got Vegas in six. What do you got in the Tampa series?
I have the Islanders in six, believe it or not. And yeah.
So I like it. No, I like it. It's good. Jacob, what do you got? All right, well, Jacob's frozen out right now, so we'll wait on him. I think I'm going, yeah, probably Vegas in six. I like that. Mm-hmm. And then I'll take the Islanders in seven. Like, I think Tampa Bay, a better team. But, I can't willingly pick Tampa Bay to win a series after, you know, what they put us through in that first, after that first round. State rival can't do it. Jacob, are you unfrozen now?
It looks like I'm unfrozen. I don't know why it cuts out every now and then, but all good. I got Golden Knights in five on my end. I think the Habs can steal a game. I'd like to see them do well, but I just think there is a very big gap in the skill, and I think it's about that. This was the round in which I think it'll get the most exposed. I think the Leafs are choke artists, so like they'll never be the team to call it, nor a team to expose like any of the weaknesses. And then the Jets just seemed off that entire series. So
like how bad did Pierre-Luc Dubois look all series?
Oh, like I think both I saw it on Twitter too. I think just like both teams lost that trade. Like Line A hasn't been good and Dubois hasn't been good. So like
I think Columbus wins the trade because Jack Roslovich. That's the deciding
factor. Yeah, there's your third party in there that, yeah, I guess he's been pretty good.
Columbus, scored some,
but other than that,
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, back to the predictions. I got Vegas in five here. Montreal steals a game at home. That'll be it. And then the Islanders and Lightning. I'll take the Lightning here. I know I'm rooting for the Islanders. I don't want the Lightning to win that, but I got Lightning in seven. I got to go in the distance. Islanders just pulling out some stupid stuff. They remind me a lot of where Ottawa was on that 2017 run with like a really bad lineup, but they play so like disciplined and organized that they're just able to just like steal games that they have absolutely no business being in. So I got Lightning in seven there, and then I hope Vegas just stomps them in the final.
Yeah, that would be, I think, ideal. Watching a couple former Panthers, you know, lifting the cup would always be nice. Felix, the reason we brought you on this episode, not just because Noah bailed, but because you sometimes in the summer golf with Jonathan Huberdeau. So I got asked, do you have any good Jonathan Huberdeau stories for our listeners?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a good time to just share a bit of the story I had concerning Huberdeau, because one of the things I always admire about professional athletes is the ability to just come clutch when it matters the most. And we've seen a glimpse of what Huberdeau can do in the playoffs. I think he was absolutely amazing. Probably arguably be like their best player alongside Barkov. Maybe you can make an argument there, but
Gustav Forsling, maybe.
Yeah, too. I mean, we can go on and on. Because
I mean the whole team.
Yeah, we're on it. Might as well go Radko Gudas as well. Like, it's going down that path.
Exactly. So it just like, I do play him occasionally, like maybe like four or five times during the summer. So I occasionally, like, we're about the same level, I would say, golf wise, definitely not hockey wise.
Wow, that's awfully harsh about his golf game though.
I would say he's like for those of you out there who golf, it's probably like, I would say like a 5 or 6 handicap. And when I'm playing really good, I'm probably around that range as well. So occasionally we had some bets tossing around. So I remember, you know, we play every hole. So if you win a hole, so I was 3 up on 14. So there's literally four holes to play. And I was fairly very confident, right? And Huberto starts talking trash, even though he's down three holes. And I'm like, there's no way. I just have to tie you two holes and I'm good here, right? And he's like, and of course, like, we don't make the same amount of money, right? And Jonathan really? makes a bit more than I do, I would say, just a tad. So he's like, you want to just like bet $100 a hole for the last four holes? And I'm like, well, see.
Which is like, that's like hole. Nothing to him.
To him is like a sack of chips. To me, it's like, it's like 2 weeks pay. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So, but I was so confident, right? And I was just like, there's no way I lose this game. So I was like, let's just call it like a 250 for the end of match. If you can come back, and I even said like an idiot, I'll give you 2-1.
Right? Oh no.
So walk on the 15, it's a par 5, about 530 yards, and he just absolutely rips one. Bums one about 340 down the fairway. I'm like, oh, fuck, what did I just do here, right? And then, of course, I, like, slice my drive left, scramble back, make a par, but he makes it about a 24-footer for birdie. So I'm like, okay, it's okay. I'm still two up on 16, three holes to play, par 3, about 160 yards. And just remember that shot, really, like, I'll never forget, like, hit the pin on the par 3 at the tap in birdie, and now I'm only one up, and you can guess the history, you know, he wins 17 and then he won 18 as well. So
kind of sounds like he hustled one. You
oh he did he's definitely a sen, you know, he's just, yeah. He likes to no, at the end of the day he let me off the hook, but it was just amazing to see, like, he finished 400 through 4 and I was plus 1, which is still relatively good, but he's just like, always amazes me when, like, professional athlete, and especially Huberto himself, like, the ability to just, like, turn it on when it matters and just becomes, like, just the best version of themselves possible.
Yeah, the ability to be clutch is ridiculous.
It's just, that's when I saw it. It's like, yeah, this is not, like, your typical, like, Sunday round. It's just this guy, when he wants to bring it on, he can bring it on. And that's what I kind of remind me when I saw him in the playoffs. He was just absolutely buzzing, and I was like, give this guy a game that matters and he can produce for you. So
yeah, he's the guy, like, we've seen it with some players in the playoffs, some star players, I'm not going to call any of them out, Mitch Marner, who kind of just fade away as the pressure mounts, as the moment gets a bit bigger. And even though the Panthers didn't make it out of the first round, you know, guys showed up, right?
Yeah.
And you can tell, like, there's some gamers on this Panthers team, even guys that are not, you know, your top end players were gamers in that series. Like, Ryan Lomberg gave you everything you could ask from him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Like, he scored a goal. Like, that's unreal. Who do you
winner?
Who do you winner? Ryan Lomberg, the hero. Right. Like, yeah. No, it's unbelievable, those guys.
Yeah. I'll just finish because I don't want to ruin his rep. Like, Huberto's he's a class act, though. Like, there's nothing really wrong to say about him. He's just very genuine. Every year, I get the chance to go to his golf tournament, and it's just a way for him to give back to his high school. That's how he raised money for them. He's very, of course, I wouldn't say he's like that well known in terms of like a public presence, because he likes to keep himself low key during the summer around the Montreal area. But he finds a way to give back, and he's just like a great person. Of course, a very nice, decent hockey player, I would say as well.
Well, I mean, there you go for all our listeners. Jonathan Huberto, good guy, good golfer, excellent hockey player, absolute gamer.
Best way to put it.
Best way to put it. Just an absolute legend. Hopefully he's, you know, a Panther for life. Just rocking that super nice contract right now.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Good for him, too. I don't know if you want to talk about that, but
Assist of the year. Deservedly so.
That was nasty.
Yeah, and realistically, he probably could have had a couple assists of the year.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
He is, like, in my mind, like, top three playmaker in the league. Just the passes he can make are ridiculous.
Yeah, no, that's true. And just, like, this year, too, was really surprising to me, because in the past, and we saw it a bit last year, too, but usually it would play along Barkov, right? But this year, the way he could elevate other players really impressed me as well. Talk about Sam Bennett, right?
Yeah, like, ridiculous.
Like, how good was he? But honestly, I feel like most of that was just playing on the line with Huberto. He just, this year really impressed me how much he had that ability. You know, we always talk about Crosby making people around him better, but Huberto really took over this year in that department, if you ask me.
Yeah, like Sam Bennett, like, you know, he's a decent player. Like, he's high pick, right? And I just felt like the way he plays the game meshed so well with what Huberto did, and Huberto was able to, like, we've seen with Sam Bennett in the past, like, there's flashes of potential, and Huberto's had that ability to just bring out the best version of Sam Bennett. And Anthony DeClaire was also there, you know, Jacob, former senator, your guy.
Absolute, oh, what a guy he was too.
Absolute legend up there in Ottawa. I mean, yeah, like it's still, it's like as short-lived as, like, you know, the playoffs was for the Panthers, still a lot of fun. And, you know, the whole year was just so much fun watching how well the team did, and, you know, how much fun, like, the players were having. Like, they were just, like, vibing at all times. And that, no, you know, sure, that's a sign of a good team, like the culture and, you know, the attitude of the players. It's huge in the playoffs, right? And that's why some teams crumble, Toronto, and some teams, you know, can make up for the ability they have with just being a close-knit group, Montreal. Like, it's quite cool to see at this time of year.
No, I think if you just bring back Ekblad in that same core, I think Panthers can do some good things next year for sure.
Yeah, maybe you add Dougie Hamilton. Who knows? Like, lots of who knows? Dougie Hamilton, is he coming to Florida? I was talking to him, though. We were planning on doing an entire episode where we just pitch South Florida to Dougie Hamilton, which we did. We did a bunch of them last summer, and one of them did work. Now, we don't have confirmation that was the reason that, you know.
I think that was the reason, 100%.
Yeah, like we couldn't confirm it, but we were pretty sure that that's how Anthony DeClaire ended up on the Panthers. Didn't work with Taylor Hall, didn't work with Petrangelo, but
it's okay. Who needs those guys anyways? You got the one that you wanted. You got the one pick.
Yeah, we got the one guy. We got Carter Verhaeghe. It's too easy. Back to the playoffs, though. We've seen one game from the Montreal series, two games from the Tampa series. What have your thoughts been from these first few games, just the intensity and a lot of talk around the officiating, especially last night?
Yeah, the officiating, I'll touch on pretty good. I don't like to, like, get too into the refs. Just, like, I was a ref and it sucked when it happened. So, like, I don't
it's
like
the worst.
I give the refs a lot of the benefit of the doubt just with that, or even just if I disagree, I don't really say much. But yeah, I know it hasn't been fantastic in general. I think there's been it truly it's not even as much about, like, the calls that are being made. It's about the consistency at which, like, those calls are made. Like, I feel like the consistency is all over the board. Like, there's no clear definition of, like, what is and isn't a penalty in a lot of these cases. Like, you wouldn't see two examples of, like, it's almost impossible to pair, like, two examples of, like, a single action, like, toss these two trips side by side. One of them got called, one of them didn't, but they could be pretty much the same play. And you know why, like, it's obviously because of the game management side. Like, obviously the NHL doesn't want to, like, it's all about managing the game. It's all about just, like, you don't want to give one team too much momentum. You don't want to, like, you don't want to put one team too far behind. Like, it's all game management, so it's strategic, but it does become frustrating in these moments, like, especially when you see people, like, in big playoff moments, like, things not get called or things get called completely unnecessarily just to, like,
make up a call.
Yeah, makeups. Like, I hate makeup calls. Like, and it just sets a really bad precedent for, like, what isn't a penalty. Like, the whole point of it is to penalize, like, infractions upon the game. So, like, if you're gonna call a certain thing one way, at least be consistent with it across the board. And I think the lack of consistency is what bothers me mostly about the play, about the officiating.
Yeah, like, you see it all the time where it's like you see a penalty and they'll call it, like, something they'll have in the first period, it's like, that's a penalty, they don't call it. Identical play happens in the third period and they call it, and if it's like it was a penalty then, it should be a penalty now. Like, I don't care whether you let them play or you're going to call it pretty tight, but just stick with it, like, and have some consistency. And, like, I get, like, you're going to miss some things, you know, as a ref, because, you know, hockey especially, it's a very fast game. So, you know, you can't have your eyes everywhere. You're going to miss, you know, certain calls here or there, but it's just ridiculous how inconsistent it is.
Yeah, no, nothing more really to add. Barker really nailed that. And you as well on the follow-up is just, if we could have some consistent, it would be really, it would be some good playoff hockey. Because last night, that call against Point for goal interference, and then that goal with six guy on the ice is just, it's too much, you know? It's hard to kind of like, especially as a coach, and Trotz mentioned it, it just, it's hard to kind of like make up your mind around it. And it's like, oh, it's try to erase that and just move on from the game, because that one's, you know, it hurts. So
yeah, well, especially like a too many men one, like that's not even like a subjective call. Like there, it just, you have too many guys out there. Like
exactly,
it's not like oh, like did he really hook him there? Did he grab onto him here? It's like, no, like count them. There's six or seven guys out there. Like stuff like that. Like you should, like, you got two refs out there for a reason. You should probably get the call right. But
no, the black and white ones are the ones that are frustrating the most. Like, for hypothetically, they for the most part have done a decent job with high sticking, like where if there's contact at all in the face, whether it's intentional or not, and then the blood, like the blood rule, the minor double minor, for the most part they've been consistent with that. But yeah, like you look at the trips and everything like that, and it's almost like it's all over the place. Like you can always, they're always making the argument with like that, like, oh well, if like, was it that forceful? Did he have enough momentum for it to actually, like, trip the guy? Like, it's so tough in that case. But, like, so I understand it's a tough job for sure. But at the same time, it's the blatant ones. Not that, like, they miss, like, even they miss high sticking calls. But it's like, man, like, you, that's not a debate. That shouldn't even be anything at all. And then, like, the too many men last night, it's like, that's not, like, that's not game management. That's just, like, get the call right. Like that's a blatant
mistake. Like really, so like if you're a player, like I think the only way you like are gonna do something where you know it's like 100% gonna be a penalty is if you toss it over the glass. Mm-hmm. That's the only one that's just consistent. And even that, like there was the one in the Toronto series versus Montreal where the guy like deflected it out, and that one was also like weird. But yeah, the officiating's just, I don't know, it seems like we complain about it every episode. I feel like realistically, like most of our episodes are probably us just complaining about refs and then ripping on the Sabres.
That's a way that every like hockey podcast should be, though, like in natural progression.
Yeah. And like, to be clear, again, like we don't like ripping on the Sabres. They just consistently do things that are easy to rip on them for. So we do it because we never plan these things out. But talking about the Sabres, last episode we had you on because Noah bailed, never forget. And we were talking about the draft and we kind of got cut off at the end. Panthers holding the 26th pick, which is really the 25th pick because Arizona has kindly forfeited theirs. So we were talking about it before, but who the Panthers should pick. So I'm curious to know, who do you guys think the Panthers should take at 26?
Wait, I have them at 23. They are, no, am I just wrong? Or?
No, they're 26. They're technically, really? I believe it's actually technically, you know, they are technically 27th. Like 26 is there actually. Like they, oh no, they would have been 27th, but they moved them up to 26.
This is Arizona, right?
Yeah. So yeah. Okay. So 26 pick.
Okay. Okay. Well, I wouldn't say like a spicy pick, but I'm pretty high on a guy and I have him at 19, but I think the consensus, and I'm just looking at an elite prospect here, is 32. So I guess you could call it a little bit of a spice, but, and I kind of want to hear you guys all take, because we actually never talk about this guy, I believe, but I'm really high on Scott Murrow.
Okay.
Oh, baby. Do I know a lot about Scott Murrow? get going. Then. Yeah. Tell me your reason.
Don't get me wrong, nowhere near NHL ready. That's not going to be my point. I think there's a lot of improvement still in his game, but I don't want to push it too much. But if I want to back my spicy take, is giving me a bit, and again, this might take some heat, a bit of Cale Makar vibes.
Okay.
Whoa, let's go.
Now, You guys heard about UMass, right? And their program, it's pretty elite. You know, Kellen McCarr went there, and I think
and his brother that, went there.
Exactly, he's and you mentioned there. It multiple times that it really helped his game. He's going there next year. I was really happy when I heard that. And it's hard to really judge a prospect when he was playing in the USHL Prep League and with all of the COVID in these days and whatnot. But I think this guy, with 1 or 2 years in the NCAA, could be a great mobile defenseman for the Panthers. And I feel like it fits in terms of like what they could use, even though like you could argue like Gustav Forsling was great and whatnot, but it's just like, I feel like they need that kind of like transition to defenseman in their system.
Well, yeah. They have like no D in their system. They have like exactly. Koyachonik and Ludwig, and both of those guys are like fine, but and there's no like guy.
With the resurgence of Bennett and Lundell coming in, and on the wing, you still have Denisenko and Tippett. I think that's good enough that your first pick should be a D, in my opinion. So I went a little spicy. I went Scott Marwell. I like his game. Again, I like his skating a lot. A lot of things to work on. He's a bit of a raw prospect, but I like him a lot. And he's going to get that UMass experience, and I can't wait to see where this guy goes.
No, that's I like it.
No, go ahead, Justin.
Oh, no, you go ahead, man. I was
going to tell a follow-up story there because it's funny that you mentioned Scott Morrow because at Dauber, we are notoriously known, and not I shouldn't say we as much as Tony Ferrari is known for really pushing Scott Morrow right now.
Really?
And like into the first round. You can check Tony's rankings. I don't think I can get it right now, but Scott Morrow is in the 20s in that, and I believe it's earlier rather than later. For Scott. And I remember in one of our meetings, it was early-ish. It was like before most seasons had started or like they had just started. It was like September, October-ish. We were doing these rankings. And Joel Henderson, who now works with FC, brought this guy up. And was like, we were starting to talk. We were like around the 40s. And he brought this guy up. He's like, I'm not going to say that we should rank him now because not a lot of guys, like not a lot of you would have like heard of this guy yet, but for the future we need to put Scott Morrow in this range or in like or higher. He's like, watch this guy for the next bit. He's like, this guy, like you mentioned, while raw, has every single tool to become an elite defenseman in the NHL. The skating, the puck moving, the offensive instincts, the defensive instincts, the physicality. He's not small either for a prep league. He's what, 6'2" right now?
Yeah,
this guy. I can't believe we forgot him last week, Justin. I should have known that because we were last
yeah, that's on you. You're the draft guy.
I just show up here. It's because Morrow's just outside on mine. Actually, I moved Morrow up. Scott Morrow's 30 on my board. So he's if the Panthers are picking at 26, that's completely fine.
Is he from Shattuck St. Mary's?
Yep.
Yeah. So going
where
from
else would elite, he be from? Yeah.
Like so he's going from one of the development high schools to one of the best development colleges to one of the best development teams in the Florida Panthers potentially.
But yeah, no, I think like this guy from the bat has always just been like flying under the radar. Quietly, it's because of the league, and it's fair. It is a fair concern to be like trying to judge someone in a high school / USHL prep loop. Like as you said, it is challenging, but at the same time, that's where you just look for the tools. Like, don't look as much about like the stuff that he does, but the time and space. Look at the little things. Like, just look at the building blocks, and then know as a franchise, and in this case, in Florida. If you trust your player development, you trust the location that they're going to, and UMass is a great location for that. And like I think he's very, very much worth a first round pick. And I think the Panthers at 26 is a really good landing spot for him.
Yeah. And like it is one of those drafts where anytime you got a guy with like raw tools, like you gotta be at least somewhat interested just because there's so much unknown. It's like, all right, well, this guy, we know what he can do, and there's a lot to like. So he could be, you know, a really nice pick for the Panthers there. I mean, I think I'm a bit undecided when looking at it. Like, I think it's tough. Like, I think defense probably like got to be your priority just based on your prospect pool. Mm-hmm. And if there's ever year to just go positional, go D. But at the same time, like if there's, you know, there's some pretty good forwards that are ranked, you know, a little bit outside the Panthers zone. If one of those guys falls, and is available when the Panthers are picking. Like, I don't mind that either at all. Like, there are some forwards that I really like in this draft that I think could be players. But I mean, I'm gonna stick with Danil Chajka, who we talked about a little bit last week. Again, kind of, I love the raw tools of the guy. I think he is that kind of modern two-way defenseman. He's got size, you know, he can do different things. So I think of all the defensemen that are going to be around in that range, he's my guy for sure. But I'm curious to know what you got, Barker.
Yeah, I mean, now that, yeah, I forgot about Scott Morrow. He's ranked 22 on our board at Dauber. So technically, wow. if you're splitting the difference between like Felix Dauber and I here, he falls like pretty much right on where the Panthers that would be in. For this pick, again, yeah, if I'm going to go defense, I like Chajka and Morrow for that. I think I have a sneaking suspicion Chajka's going to go too early. Like, Chajka's going to be a top 20 pick just because of the raw tools. People know who he is. He's played in the World Juniors. Like, he's been
around a while.
Like, yeah.
He's been on the radar for a while.
Yeah, he's raw, but he's a familiar pick. You've seen him a lot.
Yeah, and they're like, so, for a lot of teams, like, he's a guy like you would have seen a lot more than some other guys.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, we've seen him in previous seasons.
Yeah, I think he's got all the tools. So I think Chajka and Morrow's an RHD. I don't know. Some teams have a preference, like if they wanted to fill like a certain gap. But I think between Chajka being a little bit like most likely off the board and LHD, like I'm probably I don't know who I'd lean towards. Maybe if Chajka's still around, I'd probably take him. But Scott Morrow would give me a really, like, that would be a tough discussion in the war room. That would be like that might just be like a game time decision for that. Cause I think Morrow is more likely to be around at that pick than Chajka.
Yeah,
no,
like, yeah, like, I could almost like guarantee you like Morrow's probably there.
Yeah. The sleeper pick for a defenseman here, again, it completely depends on range. This guy could just, again, out of familiarity, get taken closer to 10 than anywhere else, but he could also fall outside the first round, and that's Carson Lambos. He is a very, very talented hockey player that had a really, really bad draft year. He went over to Finland and was, for lack of a better word, just brutal when he was there, just did not adjust properly to the big ice. Looked incredibly uncomfortable the entire time. He did not look good. But to keep, like, people should keep in mind when they're saying that this was a season like no other. He was going to an unknown country to play in an unknown league at 18 years old during the middle of a pandemic. It's like the circumstances are not great. I know people went over and did well. Pavage did well. Hoffman did well after some slower starts. But you got to keep in mind that these circumstances may not actually like fully reflect how good this guy is. I think he is a fantastic player. He is falling for a reason. Like he's not as like sure of a thing as people thought he was. He's a little more like raw in his development than people originally thought he was. He's similar to Morrow in terms of like the tools are there. You just want to see the actual finished product at that point. But I think Lambos would be a sleeper pick out of those three. Like, I think Morrow and Chajka are like easy to discuss there, and then Lambos could fall. And if he does, that could be like a pretty solid steal at 26.
Yeah. Like, you know, like we've seen it like in the past too, like guys who are ranked pretty high and then just have a brutal draft year. Now he's got a lot of, you know, pretty good excuses for not producing up to expectations. Like, I think if you're trying to evaluate him and whether he's worth a pick, I think you put more weight into what he did last year in the WHL versus what he did in Finland in a country where he doesn't speak the language and bigger ice. Right. So like, I would very much be happy with Carson Lambos going to the Panthers, but I don't see him falling that far.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say that if we had to bet who goes first between the three guys we just mentioned, I think it would be a lock for me. I'd pick Lambos going first out of these three. again, that's just it's my mindset going to this draft. If I'm a team, this is a year that I would just go off raw talent, kind of scratch what happened in the past 12 months or so, and just trust either your development system or where these guys are going next year or within the next 2 years, and just pick off talent, because it's going to be really hard to judge last year. Even if you had a good year, like how much is that is actually representative of other people just having a bad year? You know what I mean?
Well, like we saw with like a lot of guys, like there's a lot of guys who put up like ridiculous numbers in like the WHL and like very impressive, but it also, you have to remember, like it is a weaker, like the quality of competition in WHL is weaker than it normally would have been. So putting up 2 points a game, very impressive, but it's not the same as putting up 2 points a game in a normal year. Like I would discount it a little bit.
Yeah, and that was my whole point. It's just I would go off talent, and I think the three guys we mentioned would be amazing for the Panthers, though.
Yeah, like I think any of those guys, like the only other guy that's really like projected in that range is Kuhlmans, who Jacob hates.
Whoa.
That's
whoa.
A direct quote. No, that is a direct quote.
No. I don't mind Porson Kuhlmans at all. I thought he was. I mentioned this last episode.
Walking it back.
At the U18, he was good in his role. He played a role that wasn't massive. He got some PB2 time, which was good, and I thought he ran a good power play. But he
does better than, like better than a point per game this year.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like he's a good player in the AJHL. He's a good player. It's the same kind of concerns with Scott Morrow with Kuhlmans. It's just like it's not a league that I'm too familiar with knowing, like in terms of like what are good performance standards to judge a player by. He's putting up fantastic numbers in the AJHL. It's a league where like the point totals don't necessarily tell the whole story. And it's tough to actually like evaluate how good he is. But the raw tools are there. And I thought he had a good U18 where he did well based on what he was asked to do, which wasn't like a massive role. I think overall he's a guy that like I would look at for sure at this pick. It's just for me, it would be the same debate as Scott Morrow. It would just be how sure are we that he has all the tools to be an NHL defenseman, and I wouldn't be as concerned about like point totals or anything like that.
So just to kind of like prove your point of what you just said, like you don't know how to like judging the AJHL, tough to value certain things, especially with defensemen. Last year, last draft, Florida Panthers dive into the AJHL system, take Michael Benning with one of their picks in third or fourth round. Michael Benning, who had the same number of points and the same number of games as Cale Makar in his draft year. But, you know, as much as I like Michael Benning, Cale Makar might just be a little bit better. Like Cale Makar went, you know, he went pretty high in that draft and Michael Benning didn't. So like, again, yeah, like you said, like points don't tell the whole story, especially with defensemen. But I do have the quote here from you from earlier from the other day. It is Corson Kuhlmans is an absolute liability and not a good hockey player, just like every other AJHL player ever. End quote.
Wow, Barker.
I refuse to believe that happened.
That's a tough look.
I refuse to believe that ever happened.
Those are your words.
and no, take them away.
I'm gonna lose my job.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as bad as that time you spent like an entire episode just ripping on Scandinavian.
This is ridiculous. I'm getting brought in to slander. You can't even say it as any like validation though, because I had Noel Gundler in my top 10. Like if that was true, Noel Gundler wouldn't be anywhere close to my top 10.
Well, maybe it was just the Finnish players then.
I had Raymond at 3 too. And goodness, Swedish.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe you just hate the Finnish players.
Oh, VD Miettinen? Anton Lundell inside my top 8? No, the argument's not. It's not valid.
All right, so we talked about the defenseman. if you were going to go forward in this draft, who's someone you'd look at for the Panthers? That would be around that range.
You got a name, Felix?
No, not really. Cause like I can find a name if you want to. I'm just looking at my rankings right now, but it's just like, to me, it wouldn't be a year I would go forward at all.
If it was me, I'd trade out of this draft, to be honest.
I'm out.
First of all, get some assets, and then I'd just like, yeah, give all my scouts the year off, and I'd be like, hey, go take a vacation, right? Go, we'll send you to like Greece or something, go to Mykonos, enjoy the beach. We'll try again next year. And just trade away all our picks.
Yeah, that would be... The one I like, but it might be a bit of a reach, is Zach Dean from Gatineau.
Going with a French player.
He might be Q biased, but I was actually watching clips of him recently, and it's just like, I like what he offers, and I think he could transition maybe to a top nine role in the NHL. I like his two-way elements that he brought, and it's just, I feel like he's a smart player. So, but then again, go ahead, sorry.
Like, as like a comparable, would you say like Maverick Bork?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think the way you value Maverick Bork, so it might be just a tad under him. You know, I don't want to praise him that much. But I like Zach Dean, and if you have to go forward, but it just like it makes very little sense for me when the Panthers are going to have Barkov, Lundell, Bennett as their core now, as their center, and even Wenberg. I don't know exactly if he's still in the mix, but it would make very little sense for me or for the Panthers to actually pick him. But I do like him. I like what he brings, and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like it. I like it. You know, I'm a big Zach Dean guy. Do you guys have a forward line? Or? Well, I don't know what Bart, I don't know what you're thinking for forwards.
See, for me here, again, like I, it doesn't make a ton of sense to go forward here, but the only thing that would make me think about going forward is if there's a faller that we really like. For me, and that like that's where like you kind of assess like the value. It's like, okay, like as much as like we need a defenseman in the prospect, like in the pool, this forward is like so valuable. Like it's like for pick value there, it's like we can't just like miss this guy kind of thing. And there are a lot of candidates for fallers just because some team. And it's the inconsistency of like how much people were playing this year. There are going to be at least a couple of people that fall just out of pure chaos. And I think my candidates for that, again, this is OHL bias. If Francesco Pinelli's available.
Oh, I knew it. If Francesco
Pinelli's available, which he could be. For Pinelli, he could go like in the 10. I think he'd go at 10. And he could also go at 40 in this, like that's not where he should go, but that's the range of like if he's gonna fall, he's gonna fall in this draft. And like for me, Pinelli, he's very refined with a lot of the things he can do. Maybe he's not the best fit for the Panthers. Like his skating does need some work.
And the Panthers, all they do is skate.
Yeah, it's top speed. That's the issue.
Yeah, Pinelli, if you can skate, you're a Panthers. Perfect. Yeah.
Pinelli has a lot of tools. He's a really good player. It's just he's more refined in like his actual like his skills than most prospects would be at this point, with the exception of skating. It's just top speed. His agility is fine. He's just not the fastest player, which is a little bit of a problem for the Panthers system because you guys are a very quick moving team. So if we're going to go that way, this guy, I don't even know if you can really call him a faller because this is about the range that he is in. But if you want to go speed, if you want to go Panthers hockey, I think Logan Stankoven fits the bill. He is a quick player. He's got a ton of skill. You know, he would be a plug and play kind of guy where like this guy can go play anywhere inside your top nine and just skate and contribute all the time. I haven't seen a ton of like the actual play driving. He can do it when he's with his WHL team, but
to me, he's just like one of those, like you put him on a skill guy and just to be that like relentless presence, like to be, you know, like a Zach Hyman for any, you know, Leafs fans, like a guy who will just like, he'll give you 110%. Like he'll always be going, you know, he's not going to drive play, but he'll do a lot of things that allow other guys to play their game better. So I see, some of that in Stankoven. Just curious though, with Pennelly, do you have like a comparable for, you know, any of our listeners? Cause I'm sure, you know, they haven't watched a bunch of him, and I know comparables always suck, but is there stylistically anyone you kind of see him resembling?
Oh, a comparable is tough for Pennelly. If I had, I could spend some time and find a pretty good one. But I'm just trying to, think of, like, Zach Hyman one's decent. I think that's kind of up the alley of what he would be about. Just like a relentless player, good skill, but nothing like out of nowhere. Felix, do you have a comparable for Pennelly?
No, I think he brings you a mix. If you want to like bring it closer to the pen, there's a mix of Hyman and a mix of maybe Alex Wenberg. Not the fastest players, but I think what's underlining about him is he's a really good playmaker. And I don't think he falls because of how great a U18 he had. Again, that team was really stacked with Shane Wright, Connor Bedard, and whatnot. But it's just like, I love him, but I have him at 18. So I was like, that's a bit too much of like, it would have to fall like eight ranks. Like then again, like I have Scott at 19, but that's just a hot take, right? So that's why I was sure I can afford that one. But yeah, so I like your a bit of a Zach Hyman, but I feel like he has a bit more skill than Zach Hyman. So a mix of him and Wenberg, I feel, would be what I would say to kind of like bring it down to Panthers kind of a comparable.
No, I like that. No, he's solid.
Justin, you have a guy for us or what?
Do I have a guy? Lots of guys. Well, like the guy I love, he's not going to be there, I don't think, but Brandon Ottman. Okay. From the Flint Firebirds. I mean, the guy's electric. He's one of those guys, like, to give you a comparable, right? Like, it's so tricky.
Like, I've got
I know, like, the, like, okay, I want to hear the story after. But to me, like, when I watch him play, like, it's not all the time, but there's some times, and I swear I'm watching, like, Nikita Kucherov. It's that level. There we go. Right.
I mean, sure.
But like Nikita Kucherov light, so like a Tyler Johnson maybe.
Okay.
But what's your Brandon Ottman story? I'm curious.
Yeah, it's just I was able to like I had the opportunity to hop on a podcast with him with Tony with our Dauber Draftcast, and he again I don't think he's gonna fall like he's the eighth ranked North American skater by Central Scouting. That in itself is usually enough to drive him up for most teams. And then
he was a high pick in the OHL too.
Yeah. And he was so good for Canada in the U18s. Mm-hmm. He was so good. I think this guy's going to be an absolute baller in the NHL. So I don't think he falls. I think he's probably going inside the top 20, leaning close, like around 15 is where I'd be looking at him. But if he falls, like from what I talked with like when he was talking to us, we were doing a little thing like Tony likes to do. It's like I forget what it's called, a game tape with Tony, I believe, but it's on YouTube, and they're sweet videos because he talks with these prospects and actually breaks down their game with them. And I was on the call with Othman, and this guy is the most detail oriented guy I have met in this draft. He knew, and from like a memory perspective too, like we were doing this on the second day of World Juniors, and we were talking about games that happened like a month ago, and we're looking and we'll talk and we'll be like, oh, so like we'll pull up this play, and as we're playing it, he's like, yeah, I know exactly what happened here. Like he remembers everything, and not all of them were goals. Like some of them are like defensive back checks, like just plays that happen on every shift. And he was able to say, I remember that, and then break down exactly what was going on in his head the entire time. He was like, yeah, I remember I got the puck here. I got a quick glance. I was thinking shot. But then I saw in the corner of my teammate. Like he is so detail oriented on top of his just relentless style of play. I think this guy, again, I don't think he falls, but if he falls to Florida, this is the guy to fit your system very quickly. I think one more year of the OHL, and he's a guy that will play, like he can come into the NHL quicker because he's able to actually play on the fourth line. Like if you're with your young prospects, there's some players that just simply can't do that.
So yeah, it's top six or nothing.
Yeah, like Byfield's a decent example of it right now. Like, he's a guy I love Byfield, but he's not fantastic at playing a bottom six role. So it's like, you might as well just keep him in the AHL and then you can move up a little bit. But no, like, Othman can come into the NHL quicker because he is going to play on that fourth line and play a fantastic role during that. But when his time comes to come to the second line, first line, he will be, he'll step up. He'll do exactly what he
like
wants.
Like Kucherov, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I really like Renan Altman. I don't see him being there. So that's not maybe a realistic type of target. Like some of the other forwards, like a lot of the forwards that are kind of projected to go in the Panthers range aren't that exciting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've seen, and I haven't seen that much of many of them either. Like I've seen a lot of like Mackie Samuskevich, which who would almost certainly be there. I think he's got some underrated skill there. Don't know if it's a ton of high-end production. He's coming from the USHL. I don't know if I'd go that route, but he would almost certainly be on the board. If you want a guy who's just easy to draw a comparable, Colton Dock, just compare him right to his brother Kirby. So that's an easy comparable right there, just Kirby Dock light.
Oh, yeah, light. Emphasis on light.
Well, yeah, it's like a light beer. It's not quite a beer. You know? It's still fine.
I wouldn't be surprised if Colton Dock went at the end of the first round. Like, I've seen him in a couple mock drafts. It's scary. Like, there's always one guy that, like, will go way too high and just because of either name recognition or just, like...
And if there was ever a draft for that to happen, it'd be this one. It'd be like, oh, yeah. We didn't watch anyone, but this
Colton
is
Dock should not. Yeah, Colton Dock should not. Let me make that clear. He should not be in the first round, but he would be, like, one of those guys that just like unnecessarily gets into the first round just because of certainty and name recognition.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like, I think either way, like, I think like a big thing for me in this draft would either be taking a guy who like is pretty raw, but has some like ability, or just taking guys that, you know, are going to like good places for development. Like if you're taking, you know, a guy who's maybe going to play college hockey next year, like that's a great way for a player to develop. Like those college programs are insane. The resources they have to get bigger, stronger, huge. And you're playing against guys who are older too, than as opposed to like the OHL. Same thing with like guys playing in Europe, which we've seen the Panthers do a lot of drafting from Europe. Obviously, you know, Anton Lundell last year, and then Emil Henneman, who was shipped off to Calgary. But I don't think anyone's too upset about that.
I'm upset about it.
I don't know why you're upset about it. You've
psychopath.
Psychopath. You were all in on Emil Heinemann.
I drafted Emil Heinemann in my fantasy keeper league. He was a 7th round pick.
Yeah,
it's worth it.
Absolutely worth it.
How's that turning out for you?
It's been great. We're on the come on.
Yeah. So like, yeah, he's great. Yeah, Emil Heinemann, fantastic player. Or like, yeah, and then like, yeah, so I'd take like, you know, if there's a European player who falls, like I'd be all over that. Yeah.
I feel like we've talked about it before, Justin, even Felix, I wonder if we've talked about this too. But for me, I think my draft philosophy, obviously first couple rounds, you take the guys you like, go from there. And then after that, I don't know, just because of the entry-level contract, like the ELC rules, I don't think outside of the third round, unless there's a guy that I really, really like for a spot that I know is going to be like good and signed within 2 years, I don't think I would be drafting people out of the CHL outside of the third round. And the reason being, from that development perspective, guys that are going to college, guys that are going to Europe, all of those, you have 4 years to sign them. But with CHL players, you have 2. Again, it's not a huge deal, but when it comes to just actual contract management and going through that perspective, giving players a longer time to develop, the odds of a player developing into something in the NHL outside the third round, what was it? We did this. It drops off significantly.
Oh, yeah, I read the number. It's low. It's very, very low.
The first round's pretty high. The second round has a pretty big fallout. And then rounds 3 through 7, the odds of, like, getting someone are low. So for me, I'm looking to buy the most amount of development time possible for my players and where they can play, we can move them around, it's all good. We don't have to worry about ELC stuff. It's all just it's an underrated part. I remember us talking to an NHL scout, and they said, like, given as much as the CHL is a good year, like 2 years is usually enough to tell if a player is going to be good or not. There are a lot of instances where it's like, we don't really get a ton of time to know if this guy's going to actually be something, and you have to use a contract. And for teams that have a lot of contracts on the books, it's not ideal to have being that much of a time crunch. So it's an interesting concept that goes kind of under the radar a lot, but yeah, the management of that, like, I'd be looking for a lot of a lot of college players, and then a lot, even as out of the USHL works, and then yeah, all of Europe for the 4 years as well.
Yeah, like, I think, like, even in like the first round, like, if there's two guys like that I like pretty much about the same, like, I'm gonna take the guy that is gonna, you know, who's playing college, who's playing in Europe. And one of the teams that does that really, really well, it was the Colorado Avalanche, who have taken Cale Makar, Tyson Jost, Alex Newhook. They had Sampo Ranta from Finland. I think I read an article that was like a cognizant thing, is that they want those development years, because now, like, Cale Makar is 2 years at UMass, huge for his development, but it also pushed back his ELC expiry, which has been huge for them and allowed them to bring in some pretty good players last year and have the space to do that. Didn't ultimately work out, but you can see how that thinking has influenced how good that team is.
Yeah. And like I said, it's not a slight against the CHL, because the CHL is still a top development league. And in the first round, I'm not as worried about it, because most of those guys, like Daniil Chajka, we're going to know whether he's going to be like a good NHLer or not in at least 2 years, like minimum, like max 2 years. Like it's for a lot of the top talent, you're going to figure it out pretty quickly. It's more about like the ones that you're looking to develop into roles. Those are like the ones, like, mostly you're just looking to see if they have anything, or they have one or two tools and you're looking to develop a third, you know, like
Moneyball. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. But yeah, no, like for those guys, that's where I'm really looking to buy development years. And I'm looking to just trust the location or the program, like where they're going to play their hockey, and then having faith in my own development staff.
Yeah. So we made all our, you know, prediction, or like our, you know, who we like for the Panthers. Just want to end off, who is your actual prediction for who you think ends up in a Panthers sweater in the 2021 NHL draft? Not who you want, but who you think.
Well, this is really hard.
It was very hard because, and when you're so late in the draft, you have no idea you have no idea who's going to be there. So it's a total shot in the dark. But if one of us gets it right, though, it's unreal. It's unreal.
Yeah, but that's my point. The percentage already is so low, I might as well stick with my guy, Scott Morrow. You know what I mean? Just like, what if I say someone else and it's actually Scott Morrow? I'm going to look like such a dumbass. So, like, honestly, I have to stick with my guy. Like, the odds are just so low. I'm sticking with Scott Morrow. I feel like he's going to be a great fit for that system. Has the speed for it. I love the guy, so I'm sticking with him.
I like it. I like it. I think it'd be a great pick. Barker, who you got? Who do you think ends up wearing that gorgeous Panthers red and gold on draft?
I mean, I like Felix's philosophy there. I got to stick with one of the guys I listed. I was going to go a little off there, but I think I'm going to go, as much as they shouldn't, I'm going to go with Logan Stankoven. I think he really, even though he is a forward, he really fits the Panthers style of play. And if there are a lot, like we saw last year, if defense start going like unnecessarily high for some reason, just because they're defensemen, like we had talked about, the range is kind of a gap. Like there's a ton of like top end defensemen that are available inside the top 10. And then a bunch of defensemen that are like available like 22 and beyond. So like if teams in that 10 to 22 gaps are like unnecessarily taking defensemen, and isn't one I like, I think you go for the system. You go for someone you know is going to fit really well, and I think Stankoven fits the bill for the Panthers.
No, I like, yeah, he'd be, I mean, I've watched him a bunch in the dub, and he's got a good motor on him.
Fair enough. So, Justin, what's your call?
Well, obviously my pick for who I'd want would be Danil Chaika. Who do I think ends up in a Panthers uniform though? You're not gonna like it, but I go with Corson Coolman.
No, God.
You know, they dipped into the AJHL pond last year. Why not double dip? Grab the best player in the league that's available. I don't think it's a great pick, but I just, you know, one of those guys, like, you know, some players just look at him like, yeah, this guy just looks like a Panther. And to me, that's Corson Coolman. Fits it to a T. I see a bit of Noah Juulsen in his game. Panther.
Oh, I can talk to you about
so I see that being an almost identical pick development and process as Noah Juulsen. So, and then it's gonna be Corson Coolman, and he'll be on waivers in like 5 years.
I can see that.
That's so ruthless. We will not hear of Carson Coolman.
You gotta respect the take though. You gotta respect it.
Wasn't the because usually you pick Corson Coolman's, right? And then you rip him. So if they do pick him, look genius. And then if he doesn't pan, you also look fine. So it's perfect.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I mean I hope he's good. If he's on the Panthers or he's anywhere else, I don't really care that much, but
True.
Yeah. So we'll see. You know, drafts. When is the draft? In a month? Month and a bit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 5 months.
Should be fun. Maybe we'll throw a draft party. You know, have some fun, set up a war room. But yeah, I think that does it for this episode of the podcast, unless you guys have anything you want to add.
No, I just want to say thanks for the invite. I had a blast. It was a fun talk.
Oh, yeah. And hop on anytime. Appreciate it.
It was a bunch of fun. Yeah. So just a big thank you.
It's always fun. I mean, it's basically just what we do normally, just talk hockey, just recording it is pretty much all this is.
True.
Right. Like how many times in the last week have we just casually been talking about Corson Coolman's versus Danil Chaika?
Oh, yeah, I've had that conversation with you 3 times today already, Justin. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, no, I think we might need some more hobbies.
Fair enough.
We'll have to change the theme of the podcast. We'll have to go a different direction.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, I guess that's it. Thank you to everyone tuning into this week's episode of the podcast. And we will be back on Monday with a brand new episode where we talk about more hockey stuff, more Panther stuff, probably some playoff stuff, see what else happens around the league. Who knows? Should be a lot of fun. Hope to see you all there and enjoy the rest of your week.
Center, Barkov looking to get a step on Medvedev.